One of the things that they were talking about, and I think this is the perfect day to do it, because today, actually physically, or in the calendar, liturgically rather, concludes the Christmastide season. So Christmastide ends today. So if you got your nativity sets still set up, then you can leave them out today. Tomorrow would be the day that you would take them down as conclusion of the Christmastide season. They didn't really, Fiorella and Gavin didn't really talk about the details of Candlemas. I know Gavin said a little bit about it, but I'm going to delve just a little bit into it. Not much, because Brother Andre Marie, will want to talk about it when Brother does Wisdom Wednesday with us later today. But let me just say this. It's a great day to celebrate and to remember that as Christians, we have the finest example ever created of family and family life, and of how the family should act, not only towards one another, but in public and what have you here. Because when the Holy Family goes to the temple today and presents the Blessed Virgin for purification, she doesn't need it. Again, I'm going to save most of this for Brother Andre. Our Lord has already been named by God himself through the prophets. He doesn't need it. And we get this partially, at least, through the prophecy of Saint Simeon. And Simeon, when he sees him, realizes, hey, I've lived long enough to see the Messiah. So the Holy Family is there purely by will and by obedience to transcendent and just law. I think that's enough of something to think about for the remainder of the month. One could meditate upon it. You know that scene from Charlie Brown's Christmas where, does anybody really know what Christmas is really all about? And Linus comes and goes, sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Well, at the end of Christmastide, I think that we get the final lesson here. There are just transcendent laws, and they are to be obeyed. The commandments, of course, being primary there. We live in a world that doesn't recognize those commandments, just and just law. Doesn't recognize and doesn't seek just war. And which is why we're all in the pickle that we're in. But something Gavin said, and someday y'all should pray for Gavin. Gavin was an Anglican priest. He decided he wanted to convert through the novitiate. Oh, I'm sorry, the ordinariate, where Benedict the 16th had extended the olive branch to the Anglicans and said, if you're an Anglican priest, come become a Catholic. I'm sure Gavin prayed upon it for many years, and about 3 years ago, Gavin decided that he was going to become a Catholic priest and started going through the process. Of course, the Anglicans don't want him anymore. But his ordination has been tied up with all this chicanery that's going on in Rome. Because I asked him, I said, how come you're not Father Ashenden? He goes, well, Michael, you might want to go to Rome and ask for Pope Francis that question. my application is actually sitting there on his desk. we need Gavin Ashenden behind the pulpit. I don't know if you miss Wednesday early shows with Fiorella, catch it, the replay this afternoon at 1 Central to Eastern, and I think you'll hear why. But I want to go to the point that Gavin was making about the modern world and about how ugly that we're surrounded by this ugliness. And he makes the point, I don't know if the ordinariate is under assault, Aliconus. I just know that Gavin's application for his to go through the process and to be ordained as a Catholic priest has not progressed. And it's not because of him. That's all I know. So Don't quote me on what's going on with the ordinariate. I don't know. But Gavin was making a point, and we've talked about this. When your mind becomes clouded with mortal sins, like aborting babies, just as one example, or public displays of lesbianism or sodomy or whatever the Hades it may be, or just being a tramp. How about that? Promiscuity. Leading others into acts of mortal sin. And you don't get that off of you. You don't recognize it, that it's a sin. And you don't go and confess it. You don't receive absolution. You continue. You build upon that. And it's ugly. It's black. Your soul becomes, and your intellect as a result becomes blackened. And like Gavin was saying, you can't see beauty. Everything you see is ugly. If you see ugliness, you know, it's like one of those movies. It's like the Predator movie. You know, when the film cuts to what the Predator is seeing. Remember when Arnold falls into the mud? Remember when he falls into the mud and he gets covered in the mud and the Predator comes and looks right at him and he can't see him because all he has is infrared vision and the mud has shielded him? Well, that's your average most people today. Arnold is the beauty that is life, the red, the glow, and they can't see it. Instead, all they see is blue and black ugliness. Which is why the things that they do and they say are ugly. When you see, to quote Kim Jong-il from Team America, when you see Eric Barron, you see the true ugliness that is real. I think that that's a point that is worth discussing and talking about and fleshing out from now until the end of the day here. But I'm going to add on a couple of other things. I'll go back to it here today. Thanks to all of you who are wishing me happy birthday. As I was saying, and I'm not joking about this, 30 to 40% of dudes that are my age have already quit some form of, quote, retirement or whatever, and which I've previously said, why would I want to do that? I'd be bored to death. Besides the fact that I don't think financially it's possible. Most people have quit. Mailed it in already. Not all. I say most. Full third or so. And another third will quit in the next 5 years. Because they'll have been ordered to by the powers that be, their pensions and whatnot. And again... Who came up with this idea of depriving society of the good works that these men could do? So I have no intention. God is in charge, though, not I. So we shall see how this all plays out here today. But happy and excited to be here. I got a stack full of birthday presents. I guess I'll open them next hour here that have been sent by some of you listening right now. We'll do that festivity next. Maggie went to the donut shop and got fresh, baked, and stuffed donuts. Not made by a chain, mind you. The guy's name is Mitter Donut. So we had Mitter Donut earlier here today. I want to call your attention to something that we talked about yesterday. And yesterday 1 year ago. And yesterday 2 years ago. And probably yesterday, 12 years ago. But let's get more poignant to it. Well, let's get more pointed and to the point to it. So in yesterday's program, I told you that the cult of death, global elite, new normal, great reset cabal, using the corona doom to get their way, has lost. They've lost the initiative. They've lost the battle of ideas. They've certainly lost the reality, and that the data now says that they lost. And what else did I say? That doesn't mean anything to these people. They are not going to quit. They are never going to surrender. If you think that they're going to go to microphones and go, like, oh, okay, she, golly gee, Williker, All right, we were wrong. You guys were right. Put it there, pal. Let's make up. That's not going to happen. And the evidence now and the plot change began yesterday or 2 days ago with the baked up news that Pfizer is already talking with the Biden regime's FDA about a brand new serum concoction of its COVID vaccine goo that's injured so many millions around the world, and over a million in combination with the other two brands here in the United States, and is going to, is already lining up volunteers, and then is going to push for mandatory vaccinations of 6-month-old to 5-year-olds. Not one, not two, but they think, we think it'll be three jabs for the 6-month-olds. Which leaves many people going, why would you do this? There's no evidence for this. I went back and looked at the numbers yesterday. By the way, I'm going to keep popping the link to the Substack into the chat room because people aren't reading it, haven't read it, and haven't subscribed. So there it is yesterday. This is a reminder. They don't surrender. What did I tell you a week ago about the gas chambers in Nuremberg 2? They are not going to leave the battlefield. They have to be driven from it. They have to be completely defeated, and then they have to be removed from the battlefield. They're not going to lay their weapons down. The salvo that was fired yesterday or 2 days ago with the 6-month-old is everything you need to know. So I went back and looked at the statistics, global statistics. One child on Earth, one, and I dispute that, but let's just say the stats right. One child, 0 to 1 year old, that would cover 6-month-olds, has died from COVID-19. One 1-year-old to 5-year-old, the rest of their new test group, none. This many.
0.0.
Children have a better chance of drowning, getting hit by a vehicle, getting hit by lightning, an accident on a playground, than they do of dying from COVID-19, if there is such a thing. Corona doing whatever you wish to call it. Well, why in the hell then is all of the official Corona Doom world lining up to start mandating that every school child on Earth can't get into any public school without being jabified? And now they want to test it on 6-month-old because they don't know any other way. I told you that they're all there. Dude, they threw all their chips in. They don't have a backup plan. This is the plan. Someone that's not one of us, he reports from time to time, and it sounds like he's one of us. Alex Berenson, who when all this is over, if it ever is over, will go back to being a lib like he was before and probably reporting or writing for some entity like the New Tenochtitlan Times.